Welcome to the EcoSend podcast. Stories from marketers, founders, and changemakers leading businesses for a better world. Hi there, welcome to another episode of the EcoSend podcast. I'm your host, James, and I'm thrilled to bring you another episode of the show. For those of you who are new to the EcoSend podcast, this is a show where I interview other people who are leaders and usually putting the planet and people first in their businesses and really trying to make the world a little bit better in their daily lives. The show comes out every week. It's usually about half an hour, and I hope you enjoy the show. Today, I am joined by Maddie Cooper, and Maddie is the CEO and founder of Flourish, which is a sustainable marketing change agency. Maddie, it is a pleasure to be with you today. How are you doing?
Very good. And yeah, pleasure to be here with you and you all too.
Awesome. So Maddie, tell me a bit more about what you're up to and what you're doing with Flourish.
Yeah, great. So I started Flourish last year. So it's a very new agency, which is super exciting. And in terms of the offer, Flourish basically partners with major brands that are already investing significantly in sustainability transformation, but they want to communicate their efforts without fear of the accusation of greenwashing. So it's to enable those organisations that are doing the right thing to accelerate their sales of more sustainable products and make their brands relevant and valuable long term. And I really see that that's really important, that there's a lot of organisations that are kind of green hushing, and that's not good for the sustainability movement generally. Consumers need to be inspired to change their behaviours. Corporations need to enable that change and kind of not put up with the misguided notion of like, oh, consumers won't pay more, they won't make the effort to change. Marketing has the opportunity to enable that change. So that's what Flourish is all about.
Amazing.
Sustainable Marketing Change Agency. And then the other thing is that I'm an assessor for the University of Cambridge Sustainability Leadership Marketing Media and Creative Programme. So lots of people are doing that course now, and I assess and support with that.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. Out of all the universities, that's one of the good ones, I believe. My co-founder's a Cambridge graduate himself. So that's amazing. And back to your original point about what you're doing with Flourish though as well. Like, I have to admit, maybe a year ago, I was very unaware of the concept of green hushing until it came up on a conversation on this podcast, and learning that so many people, and we'd include ourselves in this, were really afraid to say anything on anything we were doing about climate for fear of saying the wrong things. So it's incredible as well to hear that, like, that's not just people getting started, but it's even some of the biggest brands and companies out there also feel that way.
Yes, absolutely, they do. And lots are doing the right thing, but they just don't know how to talk about it. That's what makes them.
Amazing. So I'm looking forward to digging into this a lot more, but I always like to start with asking you, Maddie, how did you get into this? Like, why do you care about this? What's your journey been to this point in your life?
So I think my more significant climate anxiety started to escalate as soon as I had children. I was six and nine now, and I would find that I was having sleepless nights worrying about the planet that they were going to inherit. Would they be able to choose to have children, or will the planet be too hostile? Will they be able to love and cherish and experience the world, or will that not be viable because it's just too hot and hostile or inappropriate place to be able to live in? And that's a real possibility. We see those real climate changes happening so much already. So that was kind of the main thing that inspired it. And then during the pandemic, I did the University of Cambridge program for sustainability leadership. So the kind of not the marketing specific one, but the kind of the business one more broadly. And then I think that kind of everything escalated from there, because I understood more, therefore I was even more concerned. So sure. I took my previous agency, Brilliant Noise, through the B Corp journey with support from brilliant colleagues. And then I set up a sustainability marketing practice within Brilliant Noise. So they started to work with Nike and Allianz, and we did work with Barilla and various kind of lots of FMCG companies particularly. But then last year I just decided that I didn't want to work in normal marketing anymore.
I didn't
feel at peace with marketing, because I really, really believe that the only business that matters is sustainable. With the planet and society in the state that they are, all brands and the whole organisations need to be transitioning to be more sustainable as fast as possible.
Yeah.
And therefore, I want to only focus on sustainability. So very amicable ways, I exited Brilliant Noise, which had been my agency, but I exited day-to-day work within Brilliant Noise, and launched Flourish, and also started being an assessor for Cambridge. Kind of all happened within last year.
Wow, it's been a busy year. Yeah, that's incredible, though, to really go and just sort of draw a line in the sand and say, like, now the whole focus, the only focus really is going to be working with sustainable brands, working with on helping them with their marketing around sustainability. Like, that's a very crisp and clear message to be sending. And I guess something that not a lot of people would necessarily feel comfortable taking that leap. That must have been a difficult decision? Was it was there ever a point where you thought, what am I doing here? This is
Yeah, there were plenty of points of that. Yeah. And, you know, I guess to an extent, there still are. I had a brilliant business already. So starting all over again was a significant leap. But I think one has to have real purpose in one's work. And this is all that I care about and want to focus on for the sake of the whole of the marketing industry, and then, you know, for the future of my children, everyone everywhere. This is what we need to be doing. I got to the point where I couldn't not do it.
It's incredible. I guess now you've been doing this for about a year. Do you feel good? You feel like it's the right choice? You feel at peace with yourself doing this?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think having purpose and having absolute focus in offer makes life a lot more motivating. And I feel really good about having made the decision. And the feedback that I'm getting from, the clients I'm winning, and then just general feedback from the market, when they understand that proposition of really helping the marketing teams of particularly big organisations, but marketing teams of all companies, to understand how to move from business as usual to how their brand needs to show up and contribute to a sustainable future. Everything everyone's learned in marketing for the whole of their careers, all of that kind of business as usual approach of promote and sell the old way, the old things, needs to be reimagined. And therefore, those marketing teams need the capabilities to say the right things, do the right things, and not be in this paralysis of the gap between greenwashing and greenhushing.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of demand for it and a lot of really, really positive feedback, which does make the leap feel like the right one.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's incredibly inspiring to hear that journey you've taken. I can imagine people listening to the show might have maybe thoughts in their heads about doing something similar, but it may be overcome with fear or, you know, all the reasons not to do it. And to hear from someone like yourself who's actually made that leap and has come through the other side and and it's clearly working. It's I'm sure very reassuring for many other people to hear that. So it's, yeah, fantastic. Thank you for sharing that, Maddie. I'm intrigued then, for these bigger businesses, you know, given a lot of your work is around doing exactly this, like how do you get these larger businesses to actually engage in sustainability, to put that on their agenda, to be factoring that in when, as you say, so many of the practices, the things that you've been learning all your life professionally are sell, make sure we make more profit, and everything else is secondary. How do you even begin that conversation?
So, of course, it's a difficult one because business is has an operating system that we are all used to.
Yeah.
With an absolute, you know, magic wand, blank sheet of paper, perhaps all of capitalism might be reimagined in service of only doing the right things for the planet and society. But there isn't, I firmly believe that there just isn't time for that. Some people can choose to be brilliant and go off grid and whatever, but the whole of societies and the way that business works, there isn't time to change the DNA of that. It exists as it is, and it's far more powerful to get big corporations and, of course, governments, but get the big corporations to really engage with being better and doing more good than harm. So that the way to get those companies is to speak their language, and candidly, that language predominantly is money. So the main way to get those organisations to engage is to show the commercial case for sustainability action, but very importantly, sustainability marketing. A lot of companies, from corporations to all businesses, are actually doing a lot for sustainability. But the problem is that majority of them don't know how to talk about it. And therefore, they don't know how to get the commercial return by making more of it.
Right.
And that's where you get this greenwashing gap. So to get them to engage, the way I do that is to show them that the companies that are telling their sustainability stories are the ones that are absolutely flourishing. So if you look on a spectrum of, for example, Unilever, that has a really ingrained sustainability strategy from the top leadership to all junior team members through every brand. They're not perfect, but they take it really seriously and they communicate it really seriously through Ben & Jerry's and Dove and all of the other brands. They are thriving, and their share price has increased 130% over the last 10 years, and their market share has gained significantly as well. Whereas if you then look at all of their other FMCG competitors, it's half that in terms of sales success and in terms of shareholder value. And this plays out across industries as well. Patagonia, 150% shareholder value increase over 10 years, of course, because every time Patagonia stitch anything, we hear about it and they're loved and revered. North Face is doing amazing things. North Face is transforming its supply chain. Again, it's not perfect, but it's buying like swathes of all of South America for rewilding. But it doesn't really talk about it. They're greenwashing. Right. So that's a 30% shareholder value increase. It's a fivefold difference between doing it and talking about it and being visibly sustainable and doing the same things but not talking about it. So that's the... For me, that's the business case, and that's what works. I'm day after day finding that that works, is showing people that they can create a flourishing planet and society and do the right thing and enable their businesses to thrive more than they would otherwise, more than their competitors, and also then have the most meaningful careers. Like, it's the best way to feel good about your career and your contribution is to know that you're doing something that actually matters.
That's incredible. Absolutely. I guess, you know, a lot of the conversations we have on this podcast are around, you know, when you start going down this path, actually, there's not always a loser out of putting the climate first and focusing more on sustainability. You know, people are so often like, oh, doing that will cost more, lead to some sort of other compromise somewhere. But when you look at like how many benefits there are of caring more about sustainability in the planet, when you look at that, as you said, in terms of like customer loyalty and employee retention even, and passion for what they're doing, and like all of these things are good business things, as well as actually, oh, you know, we're helping to kind of slow down the chaotic mess we're making the planet,
Yeah, absolutely.
which is great. And yeah, really interesting there as well what you're saying. Like I, you know, I as I think many people listening, like you think of a brand that cares about the planet, and Patagonia certainly is one of the first names that would pop into most people's heads. And I guess do you think there's an aspect of like some brands thinking, oh, Patagonia's got that stitched up, so well, we don't want to be too much. We don't want to be considered a Patagonia also ran, and like, you know, just we don't want to be considered like just trying to do what they're doing, but second, like, is there an element of like almost competition there that puts people off? Is does that contribute to it at all, or like I wonder.
I think maybe it is, but also most of them would be very keen to have their commercial success, to be loved and revered in similar ways, and have their commercial success at all of those levels of long and short-term gains. But they don't know how to do it. So the massive gap is really the marketing capability. People have been trained how to create campaigns and go about marketing, but they don't know how to do it for sustainability marketing. And agencies don't know either. So whereas before, marketing teams have always kind of deferred to their agencies and done what they've gone with the agency's creative best, there's no the vast majority of agencies do not have this kind of capability. That's where kind of I think do they want to come not be second. I think they would need to not do what Patagonia has done, but do their own version in an honest and creative way. But they do need their version of it. Yeah, definitely.
It's also fascinating because, you know, my background's from very much a small business background, but I guess a lot of the challenge here as well is bringing in a lot of stakeholders to buy into a kind of a joined up vision and plan. And you know, I was just thinking a company the size of Unilever, and then you think about the number of agencies that probably work with someone the size of marketing to the people within the organizations, and alignment there, which you know must be, I guess it kind of maybe relates a lot to what you're doing with the University of Cambridge, like the education, the motivation, like how you bring people on side internally before you then take that message out to consumers and customers.
Yes, definitely. I think, a couple of points you touched on in terms of being appealing to employees and to the talent attraction, that's a major problem for loads of organisations. One in three Gen Z people will have actively rejected employers based on their sustainability credentials. And it's reasonable to think that they are the critical thinking brightest in the bunch. There's a lot of people that aren't then in the talent mix to be able to attract. So again, it's a reason for communicating sustainability credentials really well to get the right people. But to your point about like, okay, the challenge of it through Unilever and a really complicated organisation, I think whatever the size of organisation, the important thing is it being systemic and it being at the heart of the strategy, and that is really, really similar to digital transformation. So the companies that thrive through digital transformation were the ones that either were the disruptors, so they were digital born, kind of came and fully disrupted, or were the ones that really embraced it at the heart of the business. The companies that, and the ones that the kind of engagement was a little bit of a sort of a bolt on, it's a bit on the sidelines, it was sort of a department but not at the center. They kind of fizzled, they like haven't thrived. And it's really similar with sustainability, and that's where Unilever, although it is that's a beast of a task to get it to relate to every senior to junior person's job description and all of that connection in all the agencies, doing that from a really small company to a huge one, that they're the ones that are standing out with brilliant commercial gains and the biggest actual environmental impact and social impact.
Yeah. Really, like, embracing it and taking it as an opportunity rather than, oh my gosh, there's this legislation coming in, we've got to comply with it, get some intern to deal with that.
Sustainability department will fix it.
This is the usual
plus sustainability department, it can't be that.
There's a term I know on the tech side of things where we sort of say, like, security is everyone's job. I guess, you know, you could apply that to sustainability too, for sure.
I mean, literally is for everybody's survival.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of, we've all got a bit of a vested interest here, I think. Yeah. So I know you touched on this a bit, Maddie, but I guess getting marketers to engage in sustainability is in itself a specific challenge, like, to just, you know, outside of all the other roles. And I guess there's many challenges there, and that marketers are usually responsible for making sure more people buy the thing and buy things from the company. So I know you've done quite a lot of work here, right? There's the initiative Marketing Declares. So I wanted to make sure we had some time to hear about that. Be really cool
to. So Marketing Declares is the marketing industry specific version of Business Declares. So I think most listeners have heard of Business Declares, and they're really important work. And then there had been Culture Declares and Architecture Declares, that, and the point is being that a movement to invoke the need for, to galvanize a whole industry to show people what they can do better and differently, in ways specific to their kind of work.
Yeah.
And I'm part of the BEMA Sustainability Council now, co-chair of that. And we were looking at creating this marketing declaration. And then I turned it into being this website. So it's marketingdeclares.com. And the mission really is for everybody to kind of sign it and then think about the declarer's mindset. So there's these key sort of pillars to encourage people to really think about and reflect on. And then there's a whole toolkit. Mm-hmm. So there's loads of things, whether it be for small agencies or for clients directly, to enable people to use, like, basically, all of the resources that are available to marketers, whether it be ultra low carbon website design, or there should be, and we can add, an ultra low carbon approach to email marketing.
You know, a coincidence, we're honest.
definitely should be added. But the point is really that marketers have great power and responsibility. And they have been, we have, as a collective industry, been culpable for encouraging consumption. Like,
absolutely, yeah.
Consumers.
Yeah.
So the point of the marketing declares is to enable marketers to think about, like, how they can change the brief and encourage agencies and brands to think differently about the kind of behaviour that they're encouraging. Mm. And the ramifications of that. So changing the brief and changing that consideration. And then even through actual marketing, producing things in a lower carbon way.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, it's multifaceted. But yeah, so be brilliant. Do sign, get involved. It's just marketingdeclares.com. But the kind of the key pillars are to lead the future. Great power, great responsibility, kind of when you know better, do better. So not hiding old stories under new initiatives and that sort of green switching. And start trying to kind of inspire a revolution of changing from within your agency or within your brand.
Yeah.
And making, doing more good than harm.
I love that. I really love that because it's also such an influential thing when you think about, like, starting that initiative but then impacting countless people in the marketing profession, and then thinking about how many people they are responsible for impacting in their organizations and then consumers. It's like this tidal wave of impact that can be had. And as you said, like, with as a marketer, you are responsible for communicating effectively to potentially tens of millions of people. And if those marketers have some of this in their mind when they are creating campaigns, like the consumer behavior that can change is just phenomenal. I it's such a brilliant initiative, and yeah, we'll definitely make sure that's linked to in the show notes so other people can read more about that and hopefully sign up.
Thank you. Yeah. I think one thing to consider with that is like the work that Flourish does is predominantly with the bigger brands, but really is for everyone. So if there are other kind of small businesses listening that would want access to all of the free tools, that they are there. Or if there are any size of from small to large agencies that are wanting to take action, the resources are there for them as well, or just for brands that Flourish doesn't work with, but they're just resources directly for the brands as well. So it's more for kind of taking action.
Amazing. No, that's fantastic. Awesome. I guess, so another thing you wanted to talk about though, Maddie, was also basically, I guess, related to this in that helping marketers be a bit more confident in how they communicate about sustainability. So you know a lot about this, I guess. So how are you helping to make people more confident about this? How are you helping people avoid the pitfalls of green hushing and being so fearful that, you know, I'd rather just not touch that topic and not talk about it at all? How are you helping to address that?
Well, so I think it's really difficult to move from the old ways and business as usual, because that's what people are used to. And it's scary to take action because there is the threat of fines and government action and changing legislation if people do say the wrong thing. But that kind of stasis, that paralysis is not okay, because we all know that there's no time to lose in helping to save this planet and making societies more equitable. So I think firstly, you have to start with a point of compassion that this is quite difficult. But the best, I think, most supportive paths forward are there's a book called Sustainable Marketing. It's published by two people who are two of the main consultants for doing all the Flourish work, so Alexis Eyre and Paul Randall. It was published by Kogan Page last year, and it's a really, really a brilliant piece, hailed as like the book to save marketing. So, you know, it's good. And there's also an open source sustainable marketing compass, so sustainablemarketingcompass.com, and you can use that, and it's a way of really mapping out everything that from a, you know, startup, very small or to huge organization, can use that compass to map everything they're doing to the UN goals. And I think having a level of understanding, so the book plus that compass really gives a level of understanding that can give confidence, because it's sort of ground stories of action into substance and into the structure of the UN goals. So this is a framework and jumping off point. So they would be free, or by and large free. And also, of course, the Marketing Declares website has got a plethora of different tools on it. One particular one is the Guide to Creating Really Low Carbon Websites. That's a particularly useful one. And then the other thing would be the University of Cambridge Institute for Sustainable Leadership courses, whether the business ones or the marketing specific ones. They're really good. So of course you have to pay for those, but ideally getting an employer to pay for them, or making it as like a big career move. I think that's a really transformative journey that people, you know, starting the new cohort, sending that they sent in all of their papers today, and then they'll kind of reveal them all tomorrow. And you see at the beginning how people are and how they're thinking, and then the journey that they go through over those 8 weeks, their understanding of sustainability, and then their inspiration to take action and their confidence. Kind of it's a really accelerated journey through those 8 weeks. I really would recommend that as well.
Wow. Yeah, I feel like if anyone's wondering where to start on this journey, they've come to the right place listening to this podcast, because there's all of the all of the best resources you could possibly imagine there, Maddie. Thank you for sharing those. And yeah, we'll make sure all of those are linked to you as well, just so it's as easy as possible for people to take a next step. I realize we're almost at like half an hour, so I don't want to take more of your time than is necessary. But I guess one of the things I wanted to make sure we touched on, as if you haven't already offered enough inspiration and advice, but any more advice for others who want to move forward here, Maddie, and make positive change?
I think if people are in that transition point that you referenced at the beginning of like moving away from a previous path to what do they want to do differently, I would really recommend a book called Creative Happy Work by Kat Biles. Okay. I think it's a really interesting way that the hypothesis is that in all of us there is a business that we all want to offer to the world, and so that's I think a really good one. And Win Without Pitching by Blair Owens is horribly misogynistic, it's all he but so the first time I read it I completely rejected it.
Yeah.
Then, I got my head around it in an ungendered version. But the point is to ruthlessly specialise, like choose one thing that the planet in society and business needs and just stand out and succeed by doing that one thing. Mm. And then, of course, you know, as referenced, Marketing Declares has got useful things in it. But I think reading that sustainable marketing book is probably is like a really good accelerator to someone's knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. That's amazing. I feel like this has been such an inspiring episode, but also so practical, because like anyone who's listening to this who would be like, yeah, I want to do some stuff here, I want to make some change, you've got no excuse now. I've got no excuse to I've got to go and read some more of this stuff. I've got to go and buy a few books here as well. This is amazing, Maddie. Thank you so much. Was there anything else you wanted to share before I wrap up? Otherwise,
No, I don't think I want to add people's to-do lists any further. But no. if anyone would like to get in touch or find me on LinkedIn or whatever with any kind of questions or reflections, then please let me know. I'm always happy to support.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Maddie. Yeah, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you for so much inspiration and practical tips on what to do next. And if anyone does want to connect with Maddie, we'll link to LinkedIn and Twitter, but also flourishingworld.com, and we'll make sure you can click that and link to that too. So thank you so much, Maddie. It's been a pleasure chatting with you today.
And you too. Thank you so much for having me.
Cheers, Maddie. Thank you. And thank you everyone for tuning in, listening, watching. Really appreciate everyone who watches and listens to the show. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please do let others know about it, so we can share wonderful stories like Maddie's every time they come out, and make sure more and more people join us in hopefully making the world a little bit better. So thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Cheers.